Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven. Well, welcome back to Hackberry House, a podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted Church of North Korea. My name is Bob. This is podcast number 408. It's February 29, 2016. Well, Nebuchadnezzar was a proud king who is, he invaded Israel, that is Judah, took its king captive. Why do I think that he might be an antichrist? Well, for obvious reasons, he was against Israel during that time. But why do I have a question mark about him also? In fact, if you'll read through the little book I just put together, and here it is. It's called, There Are Seven Kings. There Are Seven Kings. And that's what the angel said to John in Revelation 17. There are seven kings. I'm trying to find those kings. I don't believe that they are mystery people. I believe anytime the Bible gives us a mystery, it gives us the way that we can resolve that mystery. So I'm trying to find out who these seven kings are, because one of them is the Antichrist. What do I mean? He said there's an eighth king that's coming, but the eighth is one of the seven. So if you want to know who Antichrist is, find out these seven kings and find out which one looks the most like him. One of them is waiting in the pit right now to be released on the planet. That's right. That's what my Bible says. I'm just following the leads that the scripture gives. I'm not making this stuff up. You can't make it up. It's so intricate and wonderful, but it's in the book. God's not sending you to the newspaper. He's not sending you to the media of any kind. He's sending you to his word to find out these people. But I put a question mark after a candidate, this next candidate for president, and we're doing this series because of the candidates that are running around our country making fools of themselves and of the nation. I think of some of the men of our past who have run for president, have become president, and the nobility of these men and the godliness of these men. And then I look at the candidates of today, whatever party, it's going to be a very difficult choice. If you're a voter at all, it's going to be hard to choose between the two that seem to be surfacing right now. But more important is the question, who is going to be president of the world? Jesus Christ has that office already locked in, but there's going to be someone who will try to claim it. Two times, I believe, before Jesus comes. There is a world empire that's coming. The seventh king has to show up first. And then he will rule a short time, Revelation 17 says. And then the eighth king will replace him, but he will be one of the seven. But there's a question mark in this little book that I wrote. When I come to that chapter, candidate number, Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar. Let me show you one of the classic pictures of him as he's there with Daniel. Remember the next day, and there's not Daniel, but the three Hebrew friends of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The picture shows a fourth person in that fire, and Nebuchadnezzar is astounded about it. And you'll find him coming to God many times. Yeah. Nebuchadnezzar meets many of the requirements, though, for an antichrist. But he leaves us wondering in some other areas of his life. I can't with confidence call him number five, so I just put number question mark. Nebuchadnezzar is fairly well known to students of the Bible. His name is associated with the destruction of Jerusalem and all that led up to it. It was a sad day for that southern kingdom called Judah. When it seemed that God's program for the promised land was just finished. We keep writing things off, don't we? To this day, people want to write off the whole idea of Israel as being the people of God. Oh no, there is a remnant still. There is a remnant, and in the middle of that remnant have been thrown a whole bunch of us, Gentiles. One day all of Israel, the true Israel, will be saved. Well, it wasn't finished at all, that program for Israel, but sorrow gripped the Jews who were carried away to Babylon and then transferred to the kingdom of Persia later, you remember, possibly to waste away as other nations of antiquity and be just forgotten. Judah was not the only target of this world conqueror, Nebuchadnezzar. We read in the last candidate's bio, do you remember who we studied last? Ethbaal of Tyre, of the Phoenician Empire. Tyre was on Nebuchadnezzar's list also. So this was a new rise of Babylonia. We call it Neo-Babylonia, in fact, New Babylonia, largely due to the ambition of this one man. Certainly, he does meet the requirement of world power, world empire, world emperor. No question of his devotion to false gods. No question about his arrogance, for which you'll recall God brought him to such a lowly place personally that he was out in his backyard eating grass like an animal. That's Nebuchadnezzar. Arrogance, anti-Semitism, came against Israel, took them captive. That's pretty anti-Jewish, don't you think? Idolatry, conquest. These shall forever be the characteristics of Satan's men on the planet. He had all of this, and he had more. And we can't forget his modern counterpart, who certainly had the Antichrist people talking, didn't they? You remember the days of Saddam Hussein? Seems like a dream now, but it was real. He was here. Saddam Hussein, who believed, remember? He believed he was the new Nebuchadnezzar. Yes, he did. And like that ancient king, Hussein actually built structures using bricks engraved with his own name, believing he was the one called to restore Babylon. Now, I've talked about Babylon elsewhere. I may do it again. This is not the time for it. But there is a mystery regarding Babylon. You see, it was supposed to fall just like that. It was supposed to just fall. It never did that. It slowly, slowly faded away until even to this day there are some bricks there of Babylon. It's not gone. When it fulfills God's word, it will fulfill it perfectly. That's why some people look to Rome as the new Babylon that will be destroyed, or that there'll come along a Saddam Hussein who will be successful in building up Babylon, the old Babylon, and it will be destroyed once and for all. It's a real mystery. Always has been a mystery about Babylon. A confusion, if you will. That's what the very word means in the Hebrew. We all know what Saddam Hussein came to. But there was at least a remembrance that something regarding Babylon is not yet finished. I believe there's more. Just keep your eyes tuned to the word first. But as you look around, you'll be able to see some inklings of things that are happening. Don't jump to conclusions. Keep studying the word, and if what you're looking at doesn't fit the scriptures, then let it go. Or you become another cultist. But there are issues, and positive ones, about this man. Don't want to write him off as an antichrist yet. First, when God wanted to give to his people, and to us, really, an outline of history via a staggering dream. He chose this pagan emperor. You can read it in Daniel 2. He chose Nebuchadnezzar to give the dream to. Why didn't he just give the dream to Daniel? He gave it to Nebuchadnezzar. Secondly, in response to the correct interpretation of his dream by Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar rightly praised the true God. He said, truly your God is the God of gods. Well, his theology isn't perfect yet, but give him a break. He's just waking up to who God is. The Lord of kings, indeed, and a revealer of secrets. He's 2 out of 3 ain't bad. It's hard to imagine how a Satan-possessed man could even begin to utter such words. That's in Daniel 2:47. Number three, when the king is lured into throwing Daniel's friends into a fiery furnace, and that whole thing backfires, you remember? Nebuchadnezzar immediately realizes his mistake. And he says, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. And then he goes on to say that anyone who dares speak against Israel's God is to be cut in pieces. You say, that's an emotional response. Yeah, it's emotional, but I think sincere. Daniel 3:26-30 is where you'll find all of that. And number four, then comes Nebuchadnezzar's pride and his humiliation, which we mentioned before. But when it's all over, such praise to God as we seldom hear from church members today. In his own accounting of it, Daniel 4:34-37, quote, I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored God, him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion. Yes, it is. And his kingdom is from generation to generation. Look at that. Nebuchadnezzar's the king, the proud king, who believes that he has built this wonderful Babylon, and yet he's giving honor to another king, a greater than he. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth, and his ways, justice. Oh, amen. And to hear such things from the head of the government. Would you like to hear that today? And number five, Nebuchadnezzar didn't die a violent death at all, as all of our Antichrist people have, at least most of them so far. But as an old man, he was still enjoying his retirement years in that magnificent city that he had built. He really had, by God's help, of course. So with all of this going for him, why even list Nebuchadnezzar at all as a type of Antichrist? Now, for the answer to this, we've got to move to Isaiah's prophecy. Isaiah chapter 14 will give you the reason why some people believe that this man is being addressed by the prophet. Isaiah the prophet dealt with this man, even though this man had not come to power yet. That's what people are thinking, that when he talks about the king of Babylon in Isaiah 14, he's talking about the greatest king of Babylon that ever was, Nebuchadnezzar. And he's talking in advance. I would like to suggest something else, but I won't be suggesting it today, because the clock on the computer says it's time for me to sign off. So we'll finish Nebuchadnezzar and Isaiah's prophecy, Lord willing, next time. Thank you for being with us today. As always, I want to put my little card up here to remind you how to contact us. If you want to hear some wonderful messages down through the years, MP3s, audios, blogs, go to sermonaudio.com/aservant70. And then while you're there, click on the word store. You'll see 34 books. Some of them are little books, I might as well say. booklets, you would call them, but 34 of them to browse through, things that just come up in my heart and I've got to say something about them, like this one. And it's the last one on there, by the way. Or you can, as you are already doing, which is sermon audio people, can go for videos at youtube.com/TheProfessorEnglish. Or if you want to contact me or follow me at Twitter, find out what I'm doing on a regular basis, go to @Dulas76. You know how to do that if you're a Twitter person. And if you're an email person, send me a note every once in a while at bob.j.faulkner.72@gmail.com. Thank you so much. And I think that'll do it for today. Daniel 4:37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven. Amen.